Okay, I have a goal this morning in this message. I guess everybody who stands behind this pulpit has a goal that they're seeking. My goal today and my challenge for each of you is to make you think first about how you see God, okay? And second, whether or not the God you see is the God of the Bible. If you're like me, when you came in this morning, you took a look at the order of worship, and you saw the title of the message this morning, Reverence. One thing I like to do whenever David's preaching, I love to look at the titles of his sermons. Sometimes they're very catchy, sometimes they're funny. And I wonder where he's going with it. Well, I went with very direct this morning. Reverence. So what is that? Probably means a little something different to each of us. We all come from different backgrounds, different experiences, and actually this group probably comes from, we're brought up in very many different denominations here. So we come at it from a little different perspective. So let me start by defining the word. According to Collier's Dictionary, reverence is defined as a feeling of deepest respect and affection. Deepest respect and affection. Well, as usual, there are other words that are used in the definition that we also need to define. So let's define the word respect as well. Regard for or appreciation of the fundamental worth of someone or something. People today will not show reverence or respect for anyone that they don't see as worthy. So obviously, if we're going to show respect for God, reverence for God, we need to see Him as worthy, don't we? So our personal private concept of God is the most important thing in our belief system. It is important because no person ever rises above his or her idea of God. So it's very important to have a right concept of who God is. I believe that is the main reason there is such an attitude of irreverence in the world and even in the church today. People don't know the true God of the Bible. I have a question for you. Have you ever seriously thought about who this God is that you say you believe in? Who is He? Let's think about some ways God is viewed today. And I'm going to give you several descriptions here. A few casual, comfortable references to God. One that I'm sure everyone in this room has heard before, the man upstairs. Pretty casual reference to God, isn't it? I don't know if any of you have seen the movie, Oh God, where George Burns played the character of God. That may be some way some of you see Him, as a kindly little old man. A gray-haired old man sitting on a throne in heaven. And we all have different ways that we look at it. When you think of God, divisions of Charlton Heston come to your mind. He actually only played Moses, but we've seen those biblical movies. Some may see God as a glowing white figure in heaven with lightning bolts in His hand, ready to strike. I'm sure that's a vision some of you have had. I have even seen God described as the big kahuna. That's an interesting reference. Something that's common among teens today that's used in text messages all the time is OMG. Oh my God. And they might say, oh my God, isn't he hot? Or, oh my God, isn't that the cutest outfit? Still, casual references to God, aren't they? They're very common. Another way God's name is used casually and properly is when people use the name of Jesus Christ just to make a point. When they say, Jesus Christ, something, as though that makes the point more important. And unfortunately, where I work, I hear the term GD used just about daily to refer to God. And this is by people who claim to be Christians. It's unfortunate the way that, I guess the casual way that we see God sometimes. Let me read you a quote that's taken from Hebrews chapter 12. Reverence and awe for God have been replaced by a yawn of familiarity. The consuming fire of Scripture has been domesticated into a candle flame. Something that's a little bit more manageable. There are people in congregations all over this country this morning worshiping their God who fits comfortably into the little box that they've made for Him. But there is an absence of awe. No sweaty palms. I've got those this morning. No shaking knees. I've got those too. The attitude and atmosphere is totally different from what we see in Scripture. Let me give you some of those examples from Scripture. First, Moses at the burning bush. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Isaiah's vision of the heavenly throne room. The New Living Translation reads, "My destruction is sealed, for I am a sinful man and a member of a sinful race, yet I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." In Revelation, when John sees Jesus in heaven, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." I would say all of those men, when they approached God, when they saw God, they had some awe for the way that they approached him. Let's look at that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, where I took that quote a minute ago. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. You can turn there and we'll read together. I didn't assign a scripture to the message this morning because I'm going to be covering a whole bunch of them. And in a minute, I'm going to go through quite a few of them pretty rapidly. But let's look at this one. Let's read. Starting in verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Do we see God as a consuming fire today? I would say a lot of times not. Well, we've heard the word awe referred to a couple of times, so let's define the word awe as well. Overwhelming wonderment combined with fear and reverence. Well, again, we've got more words in the definition that we need to define. So let's define the word fear. Obviously, in the context of how we see God, we're not talking about a fear of danger or a fear of being hurt in some way. The definition says to feel awe or reverence. It's uncanny how all these words tie together, don't they? They're used in the definitions of each other. We just saw how these words were used in Hebrews, so let's look at some other scripture references, and there are quite a few, so I'm going to go through them relatively quickly. We won't take time to go to each one. I'm just going to refer to each one. And most of these are Old Testament references. Actually, I guess all of them are Old Testament references, but it'll give you an idea of what it was like for the people in Old Testament times, and how they approached God. Job 25:2, "Dominion and awe belong to God. He establishes order in the heights of heaven." Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord, your God, and have no awe of me, declares the Lord Almighty. Malachi 2:5. My covenant was with him, Malachi is speaking of Levi here, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, O Lord, excuse me, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. 1 Samuel 12:24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. There are several in the Psalms. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Many of us have heard that one. As a matter of fact, it's in multiple scriptures and Psalms. Psalm 147:11. The Lord delights in those who fear him. Another particular verse that I like, it's actually what my mom describes as our family verse. When each of the kids in our family got married, my mom provided a plaque that has at least a portion of this verse on it to be displayed in each of their homes. We can turn and look. This is Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. So we'll turn and read there. Joshua chapter 24. Starting in verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We see how the scriptures state time and time again that we are to revere, respect, have a healthy fear of, and stand in awe of Almighty God. So how do we apply these commands to the way we live and worship today? Well, we're going to look at four ways here. First is, biblical reverence honors God with dress. And how we dress says something about our attitude towards God. It was definitely evident in the way that the priests dressed when they presented worship in the temple. They had specific garb that they had to wear, had to be worn in a certain way. And they were very obviously very reverent in the way that they approached God. And they had to be. Because there was dire consequences if they were not in the temple. We had a discussion this week in our fourth day group. Mike Skeen brought up an experience that he had in church where his pastor was preaching one morning, and as he was preaching, he slipped off his shoes and just finished the message barefooted. And Mike said that bothered him. It's like, in Mike's mind, because of Mike's background, he saw that as irreverent. Well, I don't know that it's necessarily irreverent. I don't know that the way we dress one way or the other is necessarily irreverent. I'm sure all of you have heard the term Sunday go to meet and clothes, things like that. I was brought up that way. As a matter of fact, when we used to go to the Baptist church a few years ago down the road, I generally wore slacks and a tie every day And the pastor and I were the only ones in the church that did that. And somebody asked me one time, why do you do that? Why do you wear a tie all the time? Well, my son thought it was I was in competition with the pastor to see who had the best tie. But I actually told him, and I was being honest, is just in case my mom walked in, because she expects me to see it be in a tie when I go to church. And I was brought up that way. I remember at 6 years old, the year that I was adopted, sitting in church next to my dad, wearing a bow tie that I hated terribly. But my mom and dad made sure that you wore your best when you went to church. And times have changed a little bit, haven't they? Worship services are much more casual today. Some are very casual. Obviously, I'm not in a suit and tie today. I thought about that. Talked with Terry about, thought about coming kind of as a prop myself, just in case mom showed up. But it's not all that common today in services to see people wearing a suit and tie. Our attitude is the greatest thing that is involved in our worship. How we approach God. Okay. I would be remiss if I did not mention modesty in the way that we dress. My girls and styles today make me worry about how they dress at times. I'm not real comfortable with the styles today. And they hear it quite a bit, don't you? But we are to be modest in the way that we dress. And obviously that applies more to the women today. But we ought to, in the way that we dress, we ought to show respect and reverence for God. Okay, second, biblical reverence honors God with our speech. How do we approach God today? Are we careless in the way that we speak to Him? The Old Testament Hebrews had such a reverence for God that they would not even speak His name. They wouldn't say it because they had such a reverence for God. They wouldn't say God's name, much less saying something casual like the man upstairs or the big kahuna that we use to refer to God at times. It also applies to how we speak to each other. We need to show reverence for God in the way that we relate one to another. Let me read you a scripture in Ephesians 4:29. You can turn there if you like. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Not any is a pretty high standard, isn't it? It's tough for any of us to meet, but that's what God calls from us. The standard is to be careful in the way we speak. The question is, are we controlling our tongues? Are we careful how we approach God? And are we careful in how we relate to God's people? Number three, biblical reverence honors God with first fruits. Watch out, he's talking about giving now. Okay? Do we even recognize that all things come from God? Scripture tells us very plainly, tells us in James, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything comes from God. So are we honoring Him with what He's given us? The priority of most people today is giving to self, not to God. And obviously that's the natural tendency. Unfortunately, a great many of us have, because of our desire of serving self, have put ourselves in a position that it's almost impossible for us to give to God because we're buried in debt. But it should not be that way. Do we dishonor God by the poor stewardship of what He's given us? It's a question we need to ask. Number four, biblical reverence honors God's Word. Do we revere God enough to read and learn His instructions? Do we hold God in enough reverence and high respect to look at the instruction book to read God's Word, to study it, to learn what it says. And then more importantly, once we learn the instructions, do we revere God enough to obey what He's asked us to do? That's the biggest. There's a lot of us who know what the commands say, but are we willing to follow them? Pretty brief message this morning. But it does give us a lot to think about and how we approach God. As the praise team comes up, let's talk about, or let's bring this all to a conclusion. What is the bottom line? How do we approach God? And my question is, do we really see God the way the Bible describes Him? Or do we see Him as much less than what the Bible describes? It's our tendency to make God manageable. We don't want Him to require too much of us, do we? And do we recognize that He is worthy of all our worship and our praise and our obedience? I hope those questions are on your mind today when you go home and through this week. When you pray, when you study, how do I approach? How do I approach the all-powerful, almighty Creator of all things?